Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
And welcome in to hour number two of Darren Donick and Chase. Darren on vacation. Be back on Monday. Willie Donick, Chase McCabe here with you. Elijah Campbell back at the studio and doing his thing, producing today's show on this Friday. We got pick six coming up later. We've got You Just Made the List. We've got a lot of things coming. But as we promised you earlier, it's time to head over to Knoxville, check in with Blake Topmeyer, who's done some outstanding reporting this week for the Knoxville News Sentinel on what's happening over there. Blake, thank you very much for the time today. Let's start with Coach Fulmer, Philip Fulmer, testing positive for COVID-19 and letting everybody know this morning. So unfortunate news, but the good thing is I guess he's feeling okay, asymptomatic from what I'm reading.
Right, yeah. Philip revealed in a tweet actually earlier today that he tested positive for COVID on Thursday. Of course, the athletic department typically tests people on Sunday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. At least that's what the football program does, and I would think that Phillip's on that schedule probably as well. And so he tested positive on Thursday and had a second positive test to confirm that diagnosis. And says he's asymptomatic, says he's feeling well, working remotely, has been isolating since that first positive result. And so certainly best wishes that he remains asymptomatic and has a quick recovery.
Yes, no question about it. I know a lot of people will be watching that, hoping for the best. Blake, it's been a really eventful week. You've done some outstanding reporting on a lot of these things. I want to start with what it would cost to buy out Jeremy Pruitt, because I don't know where they sit. I think there was an article in USA Today not too long ago that had Tennessee in the rankings of most money paid out in buyouts to coaches that no longer are coaching. And so I'm trying not to overreact, right? But you have people that are saying, already asking the question, what would it cost to buy out Jeremy Pruitt? It's very, very high, as you would imagine. And he's only in his third year, so it never ceases to astound me how much hotter a coaching seat can get in such a short period of time that people would even ask that question.
It is interesting because in the college football coaching world, you can go from the penthouse to the outhouse in really short order, and Jeremy proved that this season. I mean, as a guy that started 2-0, had an 8-game winning streak earlier this year, and now he's on a 4-game losing streak, and frustrations are certainly mounting. But as you noted there, it would be very costly to fire Jeremy and his staff. To fire Pruitt, let's use December 1st as our date to just kind of give us a clean number there. If Tennessee were to fire Jeremy on December 1st, he would be owed $12.88 million. Let's call it $12.9 million. That would be the cost in buyouts for firing Pruitt on December 1st. And of course, part of the reason that buyout is so high is because Pruitt just got a contract extension back in September, which naturally increased his buyout. And so that would be the cost for firing Pruitt. Will Muschamp, of course, he was owed a buyout of more than $13 million. So it's not that some college athletic departments won't do this. Even in a pandemic, even in a year where athletic departments are, losing tens of millions of dollars because of attendance struggles with the pandemic or attendance realities with the pandemic. We've seen South Carolina make a move. But all told, because, anytime there's a head coaching change, there's obviously going to be a staff change that comes with it. You don't usually see the new coach keep all the old guys assistants. And so if you just had a sweeping overhaul of the entire football staff, and let's stick with that December 1st date, it would cost Tennessee more than $19 million. Now, some of that might get mitigated a little bit by assistants getting new jobs. Pruitt has no obligation to mitigate the damages. He would be owed all of that $12.9 million. The assistants do have a duty to try to mitigate the damages, so it probably wouldn't come out in total to be $19 million. But I would say it would probably be pretty close to that, probably be looking at like $16, $17 million in reality after any mitigation.
And it really sounds, Blake, when you throw those numbers out, especially based on what we saw with South Carolina, a lot of people just shrug their shoulders and say, okay, let's keep going, if that's how they feel about it. And, you know, they justify it by saying, well, how much money are you going to lose in the long term if you keep him? So it's interesting that whether it's 19, 13, or even 20-something million, the numbers almost are numbing when people have that mindset.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I think for a lot of folks, they think, well, it's not my money.
Right.
What do I care? You know, and so, and I think in a lot of years, that's probably true. You know, it's fair to feel that way. I mean, in a lot of years, athletic departments kind of seem to print cash. But obviously the realities are different this year. I think the optics, you know, could be a hard sell in some corners of the athletic department to shell out $19 million in severance payments over the course of the next couple years while you have athletic department employees who are earning more than $50,000 taking a pay cut over the next 8 months. You know, that could be, as much as people, I think, are frustrated with the losing, and obviously Pruitt has to put an end to that, or the hot seat's only going to continue to get warmer, no doubt. But I do think in some corners of the athletic department, the idea of shelling out, like I said, close to $20 million in severance payments while you're furloughing people in the athletic department that are making, or excuse me, not furloughing, but instituting salary reductions for people in the athletic department that are making, say, $60,000, I think that could be kind of hard to square.
Yeah, I would agree. And it's also worth noting, as you point out in your article, Blake, that we're 3 years removed from Butch Jones being the head coach, and they are still making payments to him.
Yeah, they are. Butch is finally going to have to get off the buyout bus here at the end of February. it seems hard to believe that he's still, but, you know, I mean, these coaching contracts are so long, and so when a coach gets fired, the universities end up paying him buyout payments forever, it seems like, unless they can come to terms, you know, just for a one lump sum early. But that's not the way it was for Butch. He was the way that his contract was designed, he was set to be paid out throughout the duration of his contract. And of course, Butch did very little to defray those costs because he's been serving as a glorified secretary for Nick Saban for the last three seasons. And so that really hasn't done hardly anything to mitigate the damages. And so the cost of that coaching change, if you want to look back for a comparison's sake, that 2017 coaching change, after a little bit of mitigation by some guys getting new jobs, not a ton of mitigation, but a little bit, the cost of that change is going to wind up costing Tennessee more than $11 million. And so to make a change to this coaching staff, it would cost several more millions of dollars to make that change. And as we've discussed, you know, it's an athletic department that's projecting to lose tens of millions of dollars this year because of challenges brought on by the pandemic.
Well, speaking of those challenges, you alluded to it a couple of questions ago and painted the picture of what's been going on in the athletic department. A lot of people have been asked to take pay cuts. Some at-will employees were just given the pay cut. We're talking about hundreds of people that make, you know, $50,000 or more per year. You laid out all the numbers, and, of course, the big piece of news where there were eight coaches that chose not to take the pay cut on the Tennessee staff. I'm curious, Blake, since you put that out there, and we've heard the reaction from Jeremy Pruitt, he said something about you haven't heard the end of this story yet. What do you think he means by that, and what's been the fallout since you put that out there?
Well, I mean, here's the deal. Pruitt says we haven't heard the end of this story yet, but let's lay this out there. If that story that I published last week was not written, do you think we've heard the end of this story at that time?
Yes.
I mean, that, you know, that's kind of my reaction to that, because this is not a situation where, as I understand it, these conversations were ongoing. There was an email. There were eight emails exchanged between athletic department administrators each time one of these assistants declined a pay cut. There was eight people that did so. Each time one of those individuals did so, an email was exchanged from one athletic department administrator to another confirming that that individual declined the pay cut. So to suggest that the stories have not been closed yet, I mean, certainly these assistants, now that this story is out there, might change their mind. There's obviously been a lot of negative blowback toward them. You got a 2-4 team, and you have two individuals on the coaching staff, T. Martin and Jay Graham, that accepted pay cuts. You have every other head coach at Tennessee accepted a pay cut except for Jeremy Pruitt. Now, Jeremy was not asked to take a pay cut because he opted to forego his raise in 2020, and the athletic department considered that to be his contribution. But you had only eight individuals in the athletic department who were asked to take a pay cut and rejected it, and those people all work for Pruitt's staff. And whether they should or shouldn't have, you know, that's not really for me to say. I'm not going to tell them what to do with their money. But the reality is that those eight individuals declined. Athletic administrators at Tennessee confirmed that they declined in emails exchanged with each other. And so to say that the story is not written yet, it hasn't been finished yet. Well, as far as the athletic department was concerned, at least in terms of those two administrators exchanging emails on those eight individuals, I'd say the matter was closed. And then the News Sentinel reported last week that they rejected the pay cuts, bringing that issue to light. And now, the story's not finished yet.
Blake Topmeyer is with us from the Knoxville News Sentinel, talking all things Tennessee Volunteers. So with all of these stories that you've been talking about and you've been writing about, there's also a football game this week against Auburn. And this is a team in Tennessee that desperately needs a win to maybe take some of the heat off of what you were just talking about with Jeremy Pruitt. So I'll start with this. Who's under center?
Well, I think there's a bigger chance than we've seen all season that it won't be Garantano. However, having said that, I would still have my money on Garantano. You know, I think there at least has been much stronger consideration to make a change, and certainly part of that was a little bit by necessity. I mean, last week, you know, Garantano was on the shelf after exiting that Arkansas game with injury, and so he wasn't able to practice, and so it kind of forces your hand to start considering other options. But, you know, Garantano's back at practice. I do think that Harrison Bailey is edging closer to maybe being in that thought of being the starting quarterback, but I would say that, you know, if you're asking for a prediction, I would say I would go with Garantano. I think, I don't know, because they really haven't shown much desire to really go with a true two-quarterback system this year, whereas last year they did a little bit more of that. But it just feels like we're going to have to start seeing more of Harrison Bailey here soon. Unless Garantano starts and lights the world on fire like he did 2 years ago in one of the best games of his career when Tennessee upset Auburn, I think we'll probably see Bailey at some point, but I think Garantano will start.
Well, because here's my thing, Blake, and this is what we've been talking about here, is you know what you have in Garantano. You have the young kid in Bailey that everyone's been discussing and wanting to see and thinking, okay, he could be the future. Now, I understand that they have other issues other than just quarterback, but when you lose to a team like Kentucky, then you don't make the change, and then I know Garantano got hurt against Arkansas, and then you put Harrison Bailey in there, but the play calling was weird. I mean, you're losing games that you're not supposed to lose. Why not make the change? Why not see what you have? I mean, this season is what it is now because of those games that you've lost, taking the ones against Georgia and Alabama out of it. So it continues to boggle my mind why they won't just give them a full game and see what they have.
Well, you won't get much argument from me on that one. I have a story at KnoxNews.com right now offering four suggestions for what Pruitt should do with the rest of the season, and one of those suggestions was play Harrison Bailey. So you'll get no argument from me there. In terms of giving him a full game, I might push back on that a little bit because if he doesn't know the full offense, and I think that's been laid out pretty much here in the last few weeks. I mean, that's what the coaching staff would have you believe anyway, and I don't disagree with that. I think if they're saying he doesn't know the full offense, he probably doesn't. And so maybe you don't give him a full game, but I do think you could do a lot more at this juncture than to just give him mop-up time at the end of the game. I mean, you could script up, let's say, three or four drives where he doesn't have to know the full offense. Get him up to speed on 35 plays in the playbook, and you could pre-script a drive or two for him even, you know? And so I think they could play him a lot more than what they're doing. I think they could certainly do more than just give him mop-up time. I mean, yeah, an argument could be made for giving him a full game. I won't push back too strongly on that. But I do think you could find kind of a happy medium somewhere in the middle. And, you know, if you want to play Garantano some, okay, but you could also have a plan going into the game to play Bailey, see what you got there. Because I agree with you. I mean, this season is a bust right now, and why not? I guess it depends on if Pruitt has been given any assurances that he'll be back next season. If he knows he's coming back next year, if Philip Fulmer has told him that and he knows it for sure, which I don't know if he does or he doesn't, but if he knows that, then by all means, he needs to be playing Harrison Bailey, I think, and see what he has for 2021, because this season's shot. Now, if he feels like he's clinging for his job here, then I guess you better do whatever you think you have to do to keep your job and make sure you're still employed by 2021. And if he thinks that's playing Garantano, I mean, the recent results would maybe argue against that, but if he thinks that's the case, then that's the case. But I do think, however way you cut it, I do think that there's really no good argument at this point to not be playing Harrison Bailey more than just mop-up time to at least see what you have there, you know, with the 2021 season in mind.
So why at this point doesn't he know the offense? Is he a slow learner? Is that on coaching? I understand we're in a weird year, so I certainly take that into account. But, I mean, they've been playing for a while now and have been able to practice. So why doesn't he know the full offense?
Well, I guess I don't know the full answer to that. I'll tell you what I think Jeremy Pruitt would tell you, because we've been hearing this, and you can take that for what you will. You know, Pruitt went to fall camp and the number of players that they had in quarantine for several weeks, and I know people get tired of hearing that, and perhaps I do myself. But what he decided to do there for several weeks in fall camp is to really just rep two guys. They rep Jarrett Garantano and they rep JT Shrout. They decided that Shrout was the guy they wanted to kind of have prepared to be their backup quarterback at that point. Of course, Brian Maurer was dealing with injuries throughout the preseason. And so they were repping two guys because of the limited number of bodies they had throughout fall camp. And that's what they decided to do. So I think they felt like they weren't able to get Harrison Bailey ready at that juncture. And then I think once the season starts, it is kind of difficult to get a guy up to speed on the offense when you're trying to do game preparation mode. I don't think you're probably taking a lot of time saying, hey, we need to get this freshman up to speed here when you're trying to get in game prep. Now, that being said, I don't totally understand why, even if you can't get him up to speed on the full offense here in an unusual circumstance, unusual season here in year one, I don't really understand why he can't be up to speed on enough of it to at least play more than mop-up duty. And I think at this point, if you're not giving him first or second string reps, that's a mistake. I mean, you know, I think the first few weeks of the season, they weren't giving him one and two reps. He was down on the depth chart. But at this point, you know, I don't think there's any belief that JT Shrout or Brian Maurer is the quarterback of the future for this program. And so I'd say, you know, when Jarrett Garantano was out last week, Harrison Bailey probably should have, and I think he was getting a lot of the reps at the top of the depth chart, and I think he continues to get the reps probably with the twos. And so I think that's changing at this point. Should it have changed earlier? Should there have been more dedication to getting him up to speed? I mean, I think in hindsight, you could probably make that argument.
All right, so leave us with this. Let's just go on the premise that Philip Fulmer and the university, they don't make a change at the head coach this year. Jeremy Pruitt comes back. Could you see Jim Chaney being the sacrificial lamb and they make a change at offensive coordinator? Mike Bobo is probably going to be available with everything going on at South Carolina. I know there's, you know, a relationship there. Could you see it being Chaney?
I could see Chaney being one of the guys that is offered up as a sacrificial lamb, as you said, for this season, because there has to be a fall guy for seasons like this. I think it was short-sighted for Pruitt to fire Jimmy Brumbaugh after four games, because you're going to need fall guys after a season like this one. I think he should have saved him until after the season to make him one of the fall guys for this season. You probably would need more than a defensive line coach, but now he's already burned him. He fired him after week four, and it didn't get the team on track. So you've already burned through one, and I think you're going to have to burn through probably a couple more, because, you know, I mentioned what it's going to cost to fire the entire coaching – what it would cost to fire the entire coaching staff. You could get rid of a couple assistants and do that much more on the cheap. You could do that for a few million dollars as compared to close to $20 million. And so I do think Cheney could be someone that either by his own decision or by Tennessee's is not around next year, and I think it could be a handful of others too. And I don't think it'll just be, you know, guys getting fired. I think we could see an assistant or two decide to leave of their own accord. I've kind of got the number at four in my mind where I think we could see four new assistants for Tennessee next season. We already know they're going to have one. Jimmy Brumbaugh is already out the door, so they're going to have one new assistant replace him. I think we could have all told somewhere about half the staff, around four new assistants for Tennessee next year.
Blake, as we let you go, I'm going to sneak in one more question. It's an interesting tweet you had because I didn't listen to the show, but with the heat going on right now, all the things that you've been reporting on specifically, it was interesting how that affected the Vol call show that you observed.
Yeah, there was only one call on Wednesday night, or at least only one call that made it onto the air. I spoke with someone else who said they were on hold for 30 minutes and never got on the air. How many callers there actually were, I don't know. Maybe there were only two. I can tell you there were at least two. There was the call that got on the air, and then the call that was on hold for 30 minutes and wasn't able to get on the air. Whether there were more calls they didn't let on the air, I don't know. It sure seemed unusual to me that you'd only have one caller make it on the air. I've listened to Vol calls every week during the football season now for 4 years since I've been on the beat, and I can't. Maybe my memory is just failing me here, but I can't ever remember a week where there was only one call that made it onto the air, even as bad as things got the final year under Butch Jones and last season, when the season started so poorly, there, to my recollection, there was always more than one caller on the air. And so, yeah, there's two schools of thought there, is that it's either just apathy and nobody's calling in anymore, or that the folks that are calling in, you know, aren't getting onto the air. Like I said, I know there was at least one caller that was in that category of called in, wanted to get on the air and couldn't for whatever reason. But it was kind of a sad show to listen to on Wednesday night, which is a shame because generally Vol calls is always so informative, engaging. I think it's a true gift really to the state of Tennessee. I think it's, you know, such a great show. This Wednesday night was not its finest installment.
Interesting. Blake, great reporting this week. We've enjoyed the coverage, and thanks a lot for spending a few minutes with us today.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Blake Topmeyer, Knoxville News Sentinel, some excellent reporting this week. We didn't even get to some of the stuff, like the Philip Fulmer unreported contract extension that he put an article about. But I would say if you want to read up on it, read his coverage, because there's a lot of info there on what's been going on. A tumultuous week for Tennessee. The very interesting observation on the Vol calls. I was not aware of that. We'll take a break. Yeah. When we come back, we'll maybe hash some of this stuff out and also look ahead to some other things going on. A lot happening. We've got, as we mentioned, Nashville SC in a playoff game tonight. Great opportunity for them. Titans, Ravens, Auburn against Tennessee. High school football playoffs going on tonight. Knock on wood, as of yesterday afternoon, and I'm hoping not to see any bad news, but all the games are on as we speak, I believe, unless you guys have seen something in the last couple of hours here. But
I haven't.
Hoping for the best here. So it's going to be an eventful weekend, to say the least. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more here on 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.